let's get to something much more important. The Word of God, right? To us. And I have a problem. When I was student teaching, I did get to brag a little bit. I'm not to boast, but I did get A's in my student teaching. But except for my ability to write on the board, and she said, you got to work on that, Galen. And for some reason, when I write as a left-hander, it goes downhill. So I do apologize. But let's look at what this is about today. We're looking at the last two epistles to Timothy. He's going to leave his ministry to him and to Titus. And he tells Timothy, our lesson today is, Timothy, be strong, be of good courage, and be faithful. And in extension, that's what he wants for all of us, not just teachers, not just teachers, but for everyone. So I wrote this down. Only when we adopt the thinking of the ascended Christ from heaven and the direction he set forth through Paul, our apostle, as the course to follow, can we fulfill, and we'll look at that verse, Philippians 2:13, to do his good pleasure. So it doesn't matter how big your congregation is, how your ministry, how you're growing, and all the different things you're doing. There's only one way, to be approved or be ashamed. And that's to be able to take God's word and rightly divide it and see that special revelation of the mystery given to our apostle Paul. The whole word of God is for us, but it's not written directly to us. So that's what we're going to look at today. So in light of that, let's look at 2 Timothy. And look at 2 Timothy 1:7. This is a verse that we dealt with before. Notice what he says to Timothy, actually 6 and 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He's so concerned, I think, that I said Timothy was a little timid. I think Titus was much stronger. Maybe physically he looked stronger, and he was going to be able to take the persecution going, but Timothy was a little timid. And if you remember in Corinthians, he sent Timothy first, but then in 2 he had to send Titus because Titus was going to be much stronger when he dealt with them. And remember, and then Paul says, and if that doesn't work, you don't want me to come to you, Paul says, because then you're really going to get it. So, but he says, stir up that gift of God, Timothy, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what he wants for Timothy. That's what he wants for us in the church. No matter how small we are, if you're the only one left, to stand for the principles and what Christ gave to our apostle Paul. The message for today, the gospel of the grace of God, the dispensation of the grace of God, the revelation of the mystery that was given only to Paul and to no one else. So in light of that, he's saying, I don't want you to have that spirit of fear, Timothy. And in extension, he doesn't want that for you and I. So now we're going to deal with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 today. As he leaves this ministry to Timothy, and of course, he's going to leave it also to Titus. But notice what he says now. Now, therefore, my son, so Timothy is his son in the faith, be strong. Two things he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what's the second thing? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others. That's what has been supposedly to be done for the last 2,000 years. But for some reason, it went totally in disarray for a long time until men started to see a little bit. Martin Luther saw a little bit of faith that it was without work. And then men started to see more and more until they saw again, as we have in this church, to see that special revelation that Paul given. And to understand that there's a very important, remember when I did a study on Acts 27. And Acts 27 is about a physical occurrence where Paul is going to be, God's going to send him to Rome. And as he's ready to get on his ship, he tells them, don't depart. Don't get on the ship. They didn't listen to him, did they? And then all of a sudden, that ship is going to be set apart. And Paul says, remember when I said to you, hearken unto me. And that story is an actual occurrence, but it also is important in a spiritual sense. The only way he says you're going to be saved now on this ship is if you hearken unto me and listen unto me. Then you'll be saved. The ship won't be saved. And to me, I think that's an example of the so-called professing church. It won't be saved. But those who hearken to me, Paul says, listen to me, those that sail with me and my message, you'll be saved. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. So he says, those things which you have heard of me and my many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others. That's what has to be done. There's going to be a time that teachers like Tracy and Bob and Keith are not here any longer. And if the second coming of Christ doesn't come about, who's going to be there to do that in this church, to be able to teach that? So what is so important is Paul emphasizes something he already told him in chapter 1. You said, why would that be important? Why would it be important? Because notice those words, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Paul, you already said that to Timothy. Go back to verse 13 of chapter 1. Hold for fast the form of sound words which thou have what? So, Paul, why do you have to repeat yourself? You already told Timothy that because he's going to emphasize it. I think Paul is saying, Timothy, I don't think telling you once is enough. I got to tell you again. Now, why this is important is Paul is going to leave his ministry to Timothy and Titus, two men, as he's ready to die. And we have a great example because Paul is the dispenser of the grace of God. But then we have a man who was given a law, and that was Moses. And he is also going to leave his ministry to someone. Anybody know? Oh, my goodness. Is he smart or what? Okay, to Joshua. So let's look at what two examples there and go first to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 7 and 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 7 and 8. Notice what Moses says to Joshua. Because Moses is what? Is he going to be able to go into the land? No. He's going to be able to see it, doesn't he? That had to be, that would hurt, wouldn't it? I'm going to show it to you, Moses, but not at this time. Now, when the second coming, when I sit on David's throne, you'll get, but not now. But I'll show it. So here's Moses, start of verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong. I love this. And of good courage. Oh. Isn't that what Paul's telling Timothy? So it's so amazing when we look at God's word and how perfect it is. He says the same thing. Of good care, for thou must go with his people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Fear not. What did he tell Timothy? You don't have the spirit of what? Of fear. And now Moses is telling Joshua that. But you know, I think the Lord said, that's not enough. I have to make sure Joshua understands this. So go to Joshua chapter 1. And you'll see now that Moses is dead. Well, wouldn't that have been enough? That Moses already told Joshua, not according to the Lord, because now the Lord's going to repeat that and tell him the same thing directly. The Lord's going to speak to him, not through Moses or himself, and let's look at that. Verse 2 of chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you, as I said unto Moses. Go down to verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I got to emphasize this to you, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Here it is again. What? Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Wouldn't that be enough? But now notice the next verse. Only be thou strong. Do you think Joshua said, Lord, you already told me that, okay? Why do you think it's important that you got to repeat it to me? But the Lord's going to, for emphasis. I think this is the key. Let's look at it. Verse 8, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So not that Moses had already told him this, Joshua, as God's representative, as God's spokesman. But now the Lord says, I think I better talk to him directly. So how did Paul get his message? He got directly from Christ. Christ spoke to him directly and gave him this wonderful message. Remember in 2 Corinthians 13:3, you can look it up. He says, do you want proof of Christ speaking in me? I'll give you proof. Okay? He said, I will boast a little of that I have this revelation. So it's amazing in God's word how that's repeated. And let's look at something that I just did this morning. I thought of this and I added it to the lesson, that how God emphasizes to Israel by repeating himself. Go to Isaiah chapter 51. In Isaiah 51, you're going to see it again, how God doesn't say a word once, he repeats it. And the emphasis is so more important at that time. So look at Isaiah 50, verse 9. Now God's speaking to Israel. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. So again, Isaiah could have just said it once, couldn't he? I think it'd be enough if somebody says to you, awake, okay? I got Tammy awake there, okay? But he says it to him twice, awake, awake. And why? He says, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. He's talking to Israel. But what's amazing is, go to verse 17. And now notice when he's talking to Jerusalem. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. He's upset with him, very upset with what's going on there. But he's going to say it again. Go to verse 1 of chapter 52. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. So we see the repetition, how important it is to emphasize something. When the Lord talked to Joshua, now as the representative, which Isaiah is, as a prophet to Israel, awake Israel, awake Israel, awake Israel, awake Israel, awake Israel, you better awake Israel. My fury may be coming to you. And the fury used to, how did it usually at the end come? He would send a heathen nation in against them. And they would possess all those things that he said, I only give to you. That's amazing, isn't it? So, but notice verse 11. Now he's going to repeat, Isaiah's going to repeat himself again. Depart ye, go ye out from hence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. So there seems that emphasis of having to say something again And that's why I think, back to 2 Timothy, the importance of why Paul says the exact thing in chapter 1 to Timothy as he says in chapter 2. And let's go back to that again in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That he says, Timothy, I want you to make sure that you understand that you hold fast in verse 13, that form of sound words which you learned from me, and that you understand you heard them from me. And also, now I'm going to repeat it to you again in verse 2 of chapter 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me. And now he says, what's the next three words? Among many witnesses. You didn't just hear from me. You heard it from many witnesses. How important it is to understand these sound words that I give to you. And go back to chapter 1 now. And what were those sound words about? Well, he tells you in verse 13, that good thing. And remember what we said last week. That good thing is that precious deposit that was given to Paul. That's the good thing. But you know, Paul also emphasizes it in another way. This is what's so amazing. He calls it the faith. And that is a definite article. It's not like A. A is an indefinite article. When you emphasize something, that is a definite article. He's talking about not our belief. He's talking about the faith, that special deposit. And look at how important that is as he emphasizes it in that. Because I could give you, there's like 6 or 7 or 8 times he says that, but we're only going to look at 3. That's very important. That at the end of 1 Timothy and at the end of 2 Timothy and at the end of Titus, he emphasizes the faith. So the last things that he says to these two men that he's going to live into has to do with the faith, that good thing, that special deposit that I was given by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Only when you sail with Paul and his message can you be saved. Now, some people might not believe it. They may not see that special revelation, but they have to understand Paul's gospel of the grace of God to be saved. Because when he says to Timothy, you don't have the spirit of fear, Paul probably quoted to him, and I apologize, and I will to Paul if I get there and say, I never said that to Timothy, okay? But I think he did. He would have said many of those verses that he probably said to Timothy, Timothy, remember, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest any man would boast. Timothy, you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He would have said to him, Timothy, remember, you've been justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's by the riches of God's grace that you've been accepted in the beloved. You have redemption through his blood. You have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I think Paul taught and gave this message not just to those people he wrote to, but in his oral things. And he would have emphasized. So, Timothy, you have reconciliation. You have justification. You have sanctification. You've been set apart as sacred by God as a free gift. And you have all the spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We should not have the spirit of fear. We should be strong enough to stand for the message that we know is true. And that's by seeing God's word rightly divided and the special revelation given to Paul. The whole word of God is for us, and we study. I sort of laugh when people have said, oh, you're those people that only study Paul's epistles. You're the ones, you know, then say, oh, no. We study all God's word, but we rightly divide it. We understand who he's speaking to. So very clearly, he's saying to Timothy over and over. Now, that word dispensation is an important word. So go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. It's a place that we all know. Do you know why people say Paul is a braggart? Because over 1,000 times he uses the personal pronouns. I, me, mine. But it's all about his office. It's not about him as a person. Remember, he said, I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. He said, there's nothing good in me in the flesh. Paul, when he emphasized that, it's all the message that he's been given to by Christ. And we'll see that in a minute. But let's look at chapter 3. For this cause I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, if you've heard of the dispensation of grace which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now that word dispensation is important in a sense that sometimes another word is used for that, and it's stewardship. So think of that, stewardship. Well, what is it about a stewardship? Well, a steward is someone who has been given a position. He's not just a servant. I don't think when Paul talks about us being good stewards, it's more than that, because Paul, in a sense, was the head steward. And remember, we're called in Ephesians the household of God. Well, in a sense, Paul is the manager of that household. So think of that when you think of dispensation. Paul was the manager of the household of God. And now he's leaving that to Timothy when he tells him to be faithful. I want you to be a good steward. I'm leaving that management of the household of God, the body of Christ, to you, Timothy. I don't want you to have a spirit of fear. I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous, as God told Joshua to do when he leads them in. So when you look at that, you can see very important why that word dispensation, and why is that so important? Well, let's look at a passage that Christ talks about that. And let's go to Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, and look at verse 42. And actually, I should read verse 41, because it's Peter who is asking a question here. Then Peter said to him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? He said, have you given this parable just to us, or are you giving it to all? And notice Christ's answer. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Wow. So he's saying, I need somebody who's going to be faithful, and I need a steward that's also going to be wise. And wisdom has to do by growing where? In knowledge. That's the only way you get wisdom, is by growing in knowledge. And Paul's always taught, that's what he's saying to Timothy. So who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make roar? Isn't that amazing? Over what? Do you see what stewardship's all about? That's what Paul was. He was a manager of the household of God, the body of Christ. And now he has to leave. So in extension, who has he left that to? To us. Isn't that amazing? He's saying, just to Timothy and Titus, now he's left it to us. I want you to be a good and wise steward, a faithful steward at that time. Because notice as he continues, to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him roar over all that he hath. Now, what does he say there? We've been given an eternity in Christ. We already are seated in the heavenlies, according to Ephesians, because where the head is, the body has to be. Of course, we're not there physically, but in God's sight, we're already there. That's why we're a saint and classified that thing. But after that, my balance isn't as great as I think it is yet. Then what does he say about rewards? They can be of two things, wood, Hubble, stay, or they can be a precious metal. That's our responsibility. I have to only be concerned, have I done it? You have to be concerned, have you been that good servant? Have you been that faithful servant? Have you done what Paul's wanting to say? So that's what I could. But now There's another passage. Go to Luke 16. And he talks about a rich man here. Now, in a sense, to take that rich man, who is the rich man is actually going to is God. But here he uses this example. Let's look at it in verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward, someone who manages his household. Okay, takes care of the children, make sure that there's enough food in the house, to make sure the money's being spent wisely. But notice about this steward. And the same was accused on him that he had, what? So this rich man's going to say, in a sense to him, we're going to open up the books, okay? You're going to bring them in. We're going to open up the books and see what you did with that money I gave you in this household. I love it. And he called him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy what? Isn't that amazing? The dispensation is given to Paul. He's the house manager of this dispensation, of this wonderful message of the body of Christ. And he's going to say that, and he leaves that to Timothy, who in extension leaves it to us. For thou mayest be no longer, what? Steward. I'm going to take it away from you and give it to somebody else who's going to be that faithful steward. And then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So in a sense, he's saying, that rich man, I've been hearing things. And it seems like you're misusing that money again. So we're going to open up the books and we'll see. And he was proven to not be a very good steward, right? So does Paul say the same thing to you and I and to himself? Absolutely. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I love this, what Paul says about himself. What we have to stand about Paul, when Paul brags, he never brags about himself. Like I said, he says, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I murdered people. I brought them to be in prison to be killed, those that were of the way, that believed in Christ as the Messiah. That's what I was. But fortunately, he said, the Lord saved me and called me into this ministry. I'm not going to brag about myself, only in the sense that, but notice what, I love what he says about himself here, starting in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of for necessity. For necessity? I think we would use the word probably, and I'm just giving you mine, please. I'm not that intelligent, but I think he's saying responsibility. So when he says, for necessity, for responsibility is laid onto me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, what? What does he have? He has a reward. But if against my will, he said, even if I don't want to do it, I will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Wow. What is my reward then? Question. Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ. How? Paul even did that physically. Paul said, I deserve what you would give me, that you would give me a wage of money. But he said, I don't want anybody to think I'm doing this for profit. I don't want anybody to think that. So what did Paul do every time he went into a city in that? Did he ask for that or did he go to work? He was a tent maker. I'll get my own money to provide my lodging and my food and everything. I deserve it. I deserve to ask it for you. He says about somebody who is in the ministry at that time, that he's worthy of double duty, yes. But he says, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to earn my way. So very clearly says, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge that I abuse not my power in the gospel. I have it. I've been given this revelation, but I'm not going to do it. So what does he say to you and I? Well, he says the same thing to you and I. Go back a few chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, he's talking to you and I, not just to the Corinthians. Let a man so encounter of us, verse 1, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards, what? And man is lots of times used as masculine, feminine. Here it's used of all mankind. I don't want to think that God's excluding you women. He's talking about every one of us who are in the body of Christ and understand this message, that a man be found faithful. That's what he wants of Timothy. I want you to be strong. I want you to be a good courage. I want you to be a faithful steward. I want you to leave here, Timothy, that you be found faithful. Now, amazing, I have no idea how soon that this departed. But I think very quickly, all of a sudden they got into false teaching and false doctrine. And then we had a church who supposedly says they're the true church who led for thousands of years into a false doctrine and a false teaching. And it had to do with works. It had to do with working your way to heaven. Now, the key is, who is responsible for that? Well, just like he told Joshua, you're going to have enemies that are going to prevent you from going into that land and possessing what you rightly deserve. But I'm going to be your strength. Follow me. Do what I tell you, and you'll get there. Well, Paul tells us we have enemies also. And you probably know exactly where I'm going because you're smarter than I am. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at 10 through 13. So Paul says, we have enemies who are going to try to take away what we have in the heavens and prevent us from getting what we rightly deserve. And let's look at that, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, wow, what does he tell us in the Ephesians? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against what? So there's someone out there who has a message different than the message we're in, and he even has his ministers. They're in the pulpit today. They may not know that they're a minister there, but they're in the pulpit today preaching a false gospel or taking them back to the Jesus of the gospel. Remember I said that there was a man I was listening to who wrote a book, and it's on nonviolence. And he said, read the Gospels 32 times and come back to see me. And I'll see the importance of Christ's message, that he was nonviolent. And that's where Gandhi got it from. And that's where Martin Luther got it from. That's the important message of the gospel. Be nonviolent. That's what will change the world. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But that wasn't the message of Christ, was it? Because he doesn't seem to think there's a different Christ coming than his second coming. And he's coming with what? The wrath of God. He came on a donkey, on an ass the first time, coming on a white horse. And he's coming with his 10,000 of his angels. And he's not coming in peace. There will be peace after he brings the wrath of God. That's the problem of not even rightly dividing the word of truth, even in the same dispensation, to say that's the message Christ wants for you and I. Be nonviolent. Turn the other cheek. No harm to anybody else. Okay? So let's continue. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who wrestled against flesh and blood? Israel. Their enemies were flesh and blood. But he says ours isn't, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. put a verse there, the evil day. Put Amos chapter 6 and verse 3. I think Rhonda probably has it, doesn't it? She's smiling. She's a good student. And I gave you that verse because that's the only other time that that exact statement, the evil day, is mentioned. That exact quote. It talks about evil times, that evil day. And Amos is talking about the second coming of Christ. Well, then why would Paul tell us that we better be able to stand in that evil day? Wow. Very important there, because that's the only other time it's used in Amos chapter 6 and verse 3. But the important thing to see there is that we have an enemy. It's not a flesh and blood like Israel had. When he said to Joshua, be strong, be of good courage. Take them into the land, Joshua. I'll be with you, I promise you. And you'll be able to defeat those enemies. The only way we can defeat the enemy today is to understand God's word rightly divided. So he says, those enemies will be there. And it's important to understand that the first thing that Paul's emphasizing is going to always be doctrine. He says, you know my doctrine. You know my prayer of life. You know my purpose. But it's always doctrine. 21 times in Paul's epistles, he uses the word doctrine. 16 of those times are in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. As he leaves his ministry, I want you to be of sound doctrine. There's going to be some who come in the latter days and preach the doctrines of devils. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says there are Satan's men, they're masquerade as apostles of Christ. They're on the pulpit this morning. I'm not going to condemn them as a person, please. In my flesh is no good thing. But it's their doctrine that we must contend, we must be concerned about, that we don't waver from. And he says they preach the doctrine of righteousness. You say, well, we do that. But it's works of righteousness. You gaining your own righteousness. And there's a church out there that declares they're saints by that thing. They may be dead 200 years, but they look at certain things they do, and they declare them saints. When Paul, when he writes to every epistle, calls them what? Saints. They've been set apart as sacred Christ, as a free gift, not because of anything they do. So in understanding that message, Paul says very clearly, remember, that there's some have been blinded, and they've been blinded by Satan and his message. He is, even though maybe we're not going to be beheaded by the sword as Paul, we're not going to be burned at the stakes like the early ones and those who saw that true message, we're not going to be taken into the lion's den maybe, but Satan is no less resenting in his opposition to this message. He hates this message. He hates it. And sadly, the message we're given is being given to, is only to a small group of people. Most have been blind. Most are following Satan's program. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he makes that very clear, and I lost my train of thought, so I forgive you on that. He said, they preach another Jesus, they preach another gospel, that's another good, another Holy Spirit. So when you think of this, that's what we stand for. And let's close by Philippians 2:13. Forgive me, but we got to go this. That's the last one, and then I promise I'm closing. Philippians 2:13. So the only way this is possible for you and I to do this is to understanding what we taught today. Look at that. For it is God with workers in you both to do what? To will and to do his good pleasure. And you can only do this, you and I, if we're a faithful servant that he wants Timothy to be, and follow that course that Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. That's the only way to be in God's will, the only way to do his good pleasure. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your precious word. But that word has to be rightly divided to see that word given to the Apostle Paul. That dispensation of God, that stewardship, that God, that Paul is the manager, the house manager of the household of God. which is the body of Christ. And he's turning that over to Timothy and Titus. Sadly, something happened. I don't know how quickly that we got into a false message, which thankfully certain men saw as we grew and grew in God's word rightly divided with this. Thank you and praise you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.